this introduction Jonathan has done. When I was thinking about preparing for this, I wanted to explain the process tonight myself, but I thought Jonathan is the deacon over this, and he has spent a lot of time, countless hours that he has put into this program, and I thought he could do a much better job than I could explaining it, and so I appreciate him doing that. I was thinking about tonight when he said, "Do you speak another language?" And I was thinking, you know, I took high school Spanish 30 years ago. I think I could tell someone they had a nice-looking parrot or something like that. And that's about the extent of what I could do. Tonight, we're going to do the Back to the Bible. A few weeks ago, we did lesson number one. That is the green one that you see here. And tonight, we're going to continue with the blue one. When I did the first lesson, the green one, I tried to do the whole thing in one night. It was way too much information. And then last week, I did half of the blue one, which is lesson number two. And then tonight, I was planning to do the other half. Since we are already well into the sermon, we're just going to do one section, I think, tonight. But let's pick up and do the blue section together this evening. And this is going to be the section that deals with worship. Last week, we covered the orange section that dealt with the one church. We covered the purple section that dealt with the organization of the church. And then tonight, we're going to focus on the worship of the church. And then next week, we'll pick up and talk about the name of the church. So let's begin tonight. If you had this particular folder with you or this particular booklet and you opened to page number 4, you can see it down at the bottom. You would be dealing with the red tab. That is the worship of the church. John 4:24 is the verse. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, before we answer the question, I put a note on here. What does it mean to worship God in spirit and in truth? To worship God in spirit means that you worship God with your spirit. It means that your heart is in this. You know, the human mind is an amazing thing, because I've got the capability of sitting here and singing, and I'm singing songs to the Lord, but I've sung these songs for the last 35 or 40 years, and I know them by heart, and so the words are coming out of my mouth, but what I'm thinking about is, what am I going to get at Cracker Barrel when I leave here tonight? Did you know that we can do that? You can be singing these words and your mind, your heart is somewhere else. But worship in spirit means I'm focusing on what I'm saying. My heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit is involved in this. Now, to worship God in truth means according to His truth. Now, notice this. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship. This is an imperative. You must worship God with your heart, and you must do it the way He said to do it. Now, if you don't do it either one of these ways, it's going to be wrong. If I worship God the right way, but my heart's not in it, then God's not going to accept it. If I worship God and my heart is in it, but I don't do it the right way, He's not going to accept it. God is a spirit. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. Now the question, must we worship God in spirit and in truth? Yes or no? Yes. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What is truth? Thy word is truth. God, the word of God is truth. And since we must worship God in truth, Since we must worship God in truth, must we worship as God has directed in the Bible? Yes or no? Yes. All right. Next page. Matthew 15:9. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. As a note here, the word vain in English and in Greek means empty. It means worthless. What that means is there is a way that I can worship God that will be empty, vain, meaningless, and He will not accept it. He tells us here one of the ways is if I worship Him with the commandments of men. That means I worship Him not in truth. Is it possible to worship God in vain? Yes or no? Yes. If we worship God according to the commandments of uninspired men, will God accept it? Yes or no? No, He will not. because it will be vain. It is worthless to him. It is meaningless to him. If it is meaningless, that means he's not going to accept it. All right? Luke 22 and verse 19. This is about the worship of the church. This is about the Lord's Supper. And he, Jesus, took bread, and he gave thanks, and he brake it, and he gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Did Jesus command his disciples to partake of the Lord's Supper, yes or no? Yes. Very obvious from the text. Next page. This is also about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, "The cup of blessing, which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" This is where we get the word communion. "The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" The cup is a communion of the blank. Blood of Christ. The bread is the communion of the body of Christ. And incidentally, as a side note, the word communion in the Greek is from the root word koinonia. It means a joint sharing or a joint participation, which is very interesting because he says, "The cup which we partake, is it not the communion of the blood?" What that means is we are sharing with Jesus in his blood when we partake of this. We are sharing with Jesus when we partake of this bread. All right? Next. This is also about the Lord's Supper. Acts 20 and verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread," that's a reference to the Lord's Supper, "Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, before I ask the question, I want to make some points about this. Acts 20 and verse 7 is one of the most important verses in the New Testament about the Lord's Supper. Acts 20 and verse 7 first tells us why Christians come together on the first day of the week. Why did they come together? The Bible says to break bread. We come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 says how often the disciples came together. That verse says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do on the first day of every week. Let each of you put something aside." Now you might say, "Don, I'm using the King James Version. I don't see the word every." You have the word every underlined. I don't see the word every. In the Greek, the word kata is in this text. Kata is the Greek word for every. Quite literally, it says, upon the first day of every week, and this that I quoted is the ESV, it says, on the first day of every week, they came together and they were to give. Now, one more thing, we see why they came together to partake of the Lord's Supper. We see how often they came together, that is the first day of every week, and we see who gathered them together. I'm going to tell you why this is important. I had a Bible study with someone a while back, and this person said, "You can partake of the Lord's Supper any day of the week. It doesn't matter." And I said, "But Acts 20 and verse 7, they came together on the first day of the week." He said, "That's just incidental. That's just saying they happened on that occasion to come together on the first day of the week to partake of the Lord's Supper. They just did it on that day. It's not saying that you have to do it." What is interesting, if you look at the grammar of this text, and I'm going to do a sermon sometimes on the grammar of Acts 20 and verse 7. It's boring because it's a grammar sermon, but it's very, very important. This particular phrase in the grammar is written in the passive voice. Why is that important? If it were active, it would be saying, "They made the choice to come together on the first day of the week." That's not what it says. It's in the passive voice. It literally says, "They were brought together on the first day of the week." You know what that means? It wasn't their choice to do that. Quite literally, Acts 20 and verse 7 says, "And when the disciples were brought together on every first day of every week, they partook of the Lord's Supper." That's what this verse teaches us. We'll do the grammar of that later. So let's go back to the question. Here's the next question. When God told the Israelites in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 to remember the Sabbath, did he mean for them to remember every Sabbath? If you go back and read Exodus 20 and verse 8, it doesn't say the word every, but did he mean every? Yes or no? Yes, he did. When those Christians met upon the first day of the week to eat the Lord's Supper, those Christians, as the disciples we just read about, did they do it on the first day of each or every week? Yes or no? Yes, they did. Should Christians today eat the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week? Yes. All right. Next one, the worship of the church. Acts 2:42. This is the day of Pentecost. This is right after the church is established, and we are told that they, these new Christians, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is preaching, and in fellowship is the word koinonia, which is also used for giving or contributing, and in breaking of bread, that is the Lord's Supper, and in prayers. We have four acts of worship mentioned that they continued in. The disciples continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. You know, last Sunday night when I got through, somebody said to me, "Don, this is so blatantly obvious. I don't know how anybody could possibly miss it. I can see how this would convert a person because it simply is regurgitating what the text says." Somebody else came out to me and they said, "I'm a new convert, and this was very profitable to me." And so that was encouraging to me to want to keep doing this. Next, they continued steadfastly in these things. Will we be pleasing to God if we continue steadfastly in these things? Yes or no? Yes, we will. All right, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. This is about the collection. "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Is it God's will that we give as we have been prospered? Yes or no? Yes, that's straight what the text says. Are we to make a contribution on the same day that we partake of the Lord's Supper? Yes or no? Yes, first day of the week. All right, and these are some questions. If you're studying with someone, here are some questions for you to ask. How often does the church that you attend partake of the Lord's Supper? Now, why would you ask this? You just went through some verses that show that we're to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week, every Sunday. If you ask your friend who's a member of a denomination, the chances are they don't do it every Sunday. The chances are they do it how often? Maybe twice a year, maybe Christmas and Easter, maybe once a year, maybe Easter. So you want them to stop and think about this. This is what they did in the Bible. This is what you're doing at your church. Next, how often does the church you attend take up the collection? What do you think the answer to that is? Probably every week, right? And then the next question, why do they observe a weekly collection but not a weekly memorial of the Lord? You put the verses together and they speak to the same. They tend to do one but not the other. It's an interesting thing to stop and ponder, isn't it? All right? Here's the next one, worship of the church. This is talking about singing. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Are we to sing, yes or no? Yes, it says that right in the verse. Does this passage mention any mechanical instruments of music, such as a piano or a guitar? Yes or no? No, it doesn't mention anything about that. We could list every passage in the New Testament that relates to music, and the answer is the same. Not one of them mentions a mechanical instrument. Now, here are some points that Rob puts into this track. Church historians tell us that followers of Christ did not use mechanical instruments of music in worship for hundreds of years after the establishment of the church. It's hundreds of years before that gets brought into the denominations. The Greek Orthodox Church, which broke off from the Roman Catholic Church, has never used instrumental music. They've always said it's wrong. And then finally, when you attend the Church of Christ, you will notice that we do not use instrumental music in our worship. All right, next point. Now, these are some questions that relate to the subject of authority. Genesis 6 and verse 14, God told Noah, "Make thee an ark out of gopher wood." rooms shalt thou make in the ark, thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now here's the question. Would Noah have sinned if he had built the ark out of metal or out of mud? Yes or no? Would he have sinned? Yes or no? Yes, that would have been sin. Why? Because he said would. Next, would Noah have sinned if he had built the ark out of a different type of wood? Yes or no? Yes, he would have sinned. If he had chosen pine, that would have been a sin. Why? Because the Lord said, use gopher wood. All right, we're establishing something about authority. Just tuck that away. Next point. I want you to look at this chart. On the left-hand side, you have a picture of the ark. You've got three choices. Would it have been okay to build the ark out of metal? No. Would it have been okay to build the ark out of mud? Would it have been okay to build the ark out of wood? Yes. Why? Because the Lord said would. Now, we're going to get more specific. The Lord said would, but it's got to be a specific type of wood. Would gopher wood be okay? Yes. Would oak be okay? No. Would ash be okay? No. All right, now let's look at the other side and simply apply this same principle. Let's talk about the music of the church. We've got two different choices. Would vocal music be okay? That is, singing with our voices, would that be okay? Sure, that would be okay. Would instrumental music be okay? People struggle with this more, but if you apply the same reasoning that we just went through, the answer has to be no, because there's no authority for it. It's not mentioned. When God said gopher wood, that automatically eliminated any other type of wood. When God said sing, that automatically eliminated any other kind of music. Now, we could go through a lot of examples, and I've got a sermon that I'm going to be doing on music soon because someone has requested it. But just for now, when you understand this principle with one, the principle ought to apply to the other, but people really muddy the waters about this. No pun intended. Here's the next one. The worship of the church. We're still establishing the principle. Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them their censer, and they put fire therein and incense thereon. A censer was a long stick, and they would put incense on the end of it, and they would go and they would light it in the fire. And it says they offered strange fire, that means unauthorized fire, before the Lord, which He commanded them not. King James says, which He commanded them not, means He did not command them. It means they offered unauthorized fire, which they got from some place God never mentioned. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Question, did Nadab and Abihu sin when they offered a different kind of fire than what God commanded? Yes or no? Yes, they did sin. Did God punish them? Yes or no? Yes. Is it important then to worship God the way that He commanded without alteration? Yes or no? Yes. The worship of the church, all right? We're still establishing principles here. Matthew 26, 26, again, He's talking about Lord's Supper. We just talked about this. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, He blessed it, He broke it, He gave it to His disciples and said, take, eat, this is My body. And He took the cup and He gave thanks and He gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. Would it be a sin to put jam on the bread, to put jelly on the bread to make it taste better? Yes, it would certainly be sinful. Would it be a sin to add, he says vitamin tonic. I don't know who says vitamin tonic anymore. This must be old. We'd probably say vitamin water. Would it be a sin to add vitamin water to the fruit of the vine to aid our enthusiasm to serving God? Would it be okay if we put vitamin water in the fruit of the vine, yes or no? No, we couldn't do that. Nobody would do that. Would it be a sin to add hamburgers and milkshakes to the Lord's Supper? That is, somebody might say, this is pretty plain. Let's have some meat there. Let's have some milk. Would it be okay to do that? Yes or no? No. We understand that. All right? Let's apply these. On the left-hand side, you have the Lord's Supper. Is it okay to add jam or jelly to the Lord's Supper? You say no. Would it be okay to add vitamin tonic to the fruit of the vine? You say, no, we don't have authority for that. That's not what he said. Would it be okay to add hamburgers or milkshakes to the Lord's Supper? You say, no, that's not what he said. We don't have authority for that. Now look at the right side. Look at the music. He has said vocal. Do we have authority to add instruments to that? No. It's the same principle. Would Noah have sinned if he had used oak and gopher wood in the ark? Yes or no? Yes. The Lord said nothing about oak. The Lord said use gopher. Did God approve of Nadab and Abihu offering a different kind of fire than what he commanded? Did he approve of it? Yes or no? No, it's very clear. He struck them dead. Is it a sin to add jam and vitamin tonic and instrumental music to the worship? Is it a sin? Yes. All right, I'm going to stop there. This next one gets into the name of the church, and it is about 6:50. So we're going to stop there and put down a peg for tonight. We'll do the name of the church next week, and we will finish up lesson 2. It may be that we have someone here tonight who wants to become a Christian. If you're here and you want to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, you have the opportunity. The Bible teaches if you've heard the gospel and you believe it, you've repented of your sins, and you're ready to come forward tonight confessing that you've heard and you believe, we are ready to take that confession and baptize you so that you can be added to the precious body of Jesus and be washed in the blood of the Savior. Maybe tonight as a Christian you desire that we would go to God and pray on your behalf, and we would be very honored if we can do that. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song?